I'll go ahead and get started. This is the region I'm talking about. This is the lower Colorado River region of Arizona and California. There is a number of irrigation districts. The key cash crop is winter produce. Produce is planted from September through early January. It's harvested from early November through early April. Over $1 billion business during the peak of the season, over 400,000 boxes of lettuce a day are shipped from this region to various destinations in North America. But the climate's warming, and here's some trends, and I'll show you a number of these. This is the average temperature over the past several years, and a crop like lettuce and even the brassicas to a lesser degree have thresholds of tolerance, and we're having some challenges on the front end of our planting window. Here's the 30-year normals as we look across the past century, and you can see they've gone up quite consistently, and it's stressing us on the front end of our window. This is critical. 28 degrees Celsius is a critical number. You won't get a stand if your temperatures average above 28 degrees Celsius. And if you have more than 20 days of an average high of 28 degrees Celsius, your lettuce will kick into reproductive phase. And the quality is such it won't go to market. It'll be passed over. Now, I want to start by saying what warming temperatures do not do. And I have to do this for the benefit of our stakeholders. Warming temperatures does not increase the amount of water required for ET. And you can see I run a network of 80 covariance systems. I have 8. I move across different production seasons. And at the front end, a September planting is about an 80-day crop. Early December planting is about a 100-day crop, 120-day crop. The longer crop uses more water during the cooler period. So the warming temperatures actually shorten the growing season, and you actually use a little less water, provided the temperatures aren't such that they compromise quality. Now, I want to talk about some of the challenges we have. Most climate change models, regardless of which model you look at, predict a more water-stressed and saline Colorado River. And essentially 100% of our irrigation water are diversions from the Colorado River. And this is a cruel irony. As there's less water, we'll have to apply more to maintain salt balance. And I'll go ahead and, for discussion today, use a simple steady state mass balance model. I actually, in application, use more transient models because we do have precipitation of carbonates, and transient models are more accurate, but the relative differences are the same. And you can see how our required leaching goes up as the river would become more saline over time. And lettuce with a steady state mass balance is 23% leaching fraction. You can see how it can go up fairly quick. We're to 40% just with a small increase in the salinity of the irrigation water. Here shows some salt balance. I'm going to talk more about salt balance tomorrow because we have very detailed data on salt balance in these cropping systems. But we always have to do a pre-irrigation to restore salt balance. And you can see the salinity across our cropping system before lettuce. And then a typical rotational crop we have in the desert is durum wheat, before wheat, and then you can see after wheat, then we have to restore salt balance with a pre-irrigation before we resume planting lettuce. You can see here's a site. This is before and after wheat, and you can see our irrigations today are very efficient. In fact, we're struggling to maintain salt balance, and we do that with the pre-irrigation event. So this is field-wide salinity. We do EM conductance surveys, ground truth them with soil samples, and you can see the salinity went up after wheat. We're not getting a 20% leaching fraction. What happened here? Okay. Now, I just want to make this point. You go through your season, you calculate your leaching requirement, and then you make up for it with your pre-irrigation. But you've got to take into account that pre-irrigation event itself. It happens usually in late August, early July. Evaporation, this is actually measured evaporation. It's not ET because there's no crop here. During a pre-irrigation event, you can see the cumulative evaporation. So if you figure you need 7 inches of water to restore salt balance, you actually probably need 9 in this pre-irrigation event because this event itself will have a leaching requirement. Now, there's other considerations. Popular amongst policy people and economists are water transfers. How do we deal with some of the water challenges we have in the West? We pay the growers, not the farm, sometimes. and set aside land. And the Barred Water District in California has been doing this in cooperation with the Los Angeles Metropolitan Water District. They give them money not to grow the summer rotational crop. And there's some considerations in this. Here's evaporation. This isn't ET. This is during a summer fallow event. And you can see there's still evaporation. And you can see two slopes to this curve. You can see as the soil dries down, there's one slope. And then it reaches equilibrium with the water table. The water table in these valleys, here it's about 6 feet. You can see there's continued evaporation over the summer fallow. That's about 1.5 millimeters per day, even though there's no crop there. Now, the shallow groundwater is more saline than surface water. So you can see what's happening. During these summer fallows, we increase the salinity. The first is a 60-acre field before summer fallow. Then you can see salinity went up across the field during the summer fallow. And then we added a pre-irrigation in late August, and we didn't fully restore the soil. So you got to be careful with the math on these water transfers. One is there's evaporation anyway because of the shallow groundwater. Two is foregone diversion isn't the real number you're looking for because we get return flow credits. The return flow, someone's entitled to that water downstream. So ultimately, these water transfers need to be based on crop ET. And then we have to consider the leaching we're going to have to use to restore this soil to sustainability. The other problem we have is 28 degrees Celsius, like I said, is the threshold for stand establishment. And we're having increasing stand establishment problems at the front end of our season. This can show, this is week 4 August, that's week 1 September, week 2. You can see our averages, and you can see where we need to be and where we want to be. And we have traditionally done with this using sprinklers for evaporative cooling. So you can see what we, here's our mean temperature, and there's our required temperature reduction by using sprinklers to get a stand using that 28 degrees threshold. And these days, our third week in September looks more like our second week in September used to look, and our second week looks more like our first week, and we are having stand failures. Now, I want to talk about a couple of useful criteria. We're trying to develop some apps to get more out of our sprinklers. We're concerned with the dew point temperature, which is our measure of humidity, but I'm particularly concerned what's completely used as a wet bulb temperature. That tells us the potential cooling of the atmosphere due to evaporation, and that's a useful number. Let's look at some data. These are some typical stand establishment. I went in instrumented fields. I had data loggers in the soil and in the air, and you can see the ambient temperature, TA, versus the temperature you achieve with the sprinklers, and you can see we're getting 2 to 3, 4, sometimes 4 Celsius reduction. You can see the dew point temperature, and you can see the wet bulb temperature. What the wet bulb shows us is we're far less than a perfect evaporator. We should be able to get more out of this system and get more cooling. We're not there today. And this one's a field from the Weldon-Mohawk Irrigation District, but we can go through a couple more of these. This is Bard Water District in California. Same sort of thing. We got about 4 degrees cooling, but you can see the wet bulb temperature. We could have got a lot more if these were better evaporators. And we can look at another irrigation district. I won't dwell on these. And we're working on this. We're trying to develop a weather-based app to run our systems based on climate, duration, pressure, to try to get more cooling out of these systems. But we may have to do some engineering. We actually have to replace nozzles and whatnot to try to get a little more out of these systems and get a few degrees cooling to maintain the window we've traditionally had. And you can see we're already right on our threshold. Here's a number of stand establishments, events. This is data I've collected in the field. And you can see the sprinkler stand establishment is always a net salt loading event on the front end of our season. So those salts have to be taken care of down the road with a leaching fraction. And usually we do this. We try to offset our leaching fraction off season because irrigating efficiently during season, provided salts do not become problematic, enables us to manage our fertilizer much better. In fact, doing this, our nitrogen fertilizer use has gone down by 40% over the past decade. So, provided salts aren't problematic, we try to push our leaching fraction off-season. It helps us with disease mitigation as well. Now, the other challenge we have is lettuce quality issues are increasing at the front of our season. With warmer temperatures, lettuce wants to go reproductive. It throws seeders, and you don't have a market for that crap. It's not going to go in a box. And here's a couple of sites. This was the fall of 2017. One was planted September 11th. One was planted September 20th. The former was harvested, went in a box, and was shipped out of Yuma. The first one was passed over. That lettuce did not go in a box. What are the differences? You can see the wet dates. You can look at the mean temperatures the last 30 days. But what's critical is the mean high temperatures. This one was over 28 degrees Celsius. That one was not. So what can we do? What options do we have? The way we grow lettuce is we establish stands with sprinklers. We take the sprinklers out, then we furrow irrigate thereafter. On the front end, at least this very front end, if we could have sprinklers throughout, we could eclipse some of those highs, and that lettuce probably would have went in a box. But we have the same challenges with stand establishment. We're going to have to get a little more out of our sprinklers, and we're working on that. But you've got to always keep track of salts. As you evaporate more water, the water that hits the ground is more saline, and you've got to deal with those salts. And this just shows some typical salt loading, depending on the EC of the water. And if you can get 50% evaporation, which is a lot of cooling, the water hitting the ground is twice as saline. And you have to keep track of that as you manage your sprinklers for evaporative cooling. You've got to keep track of the salt. So to summarize what I said today, a more saline river will require higher leaching fractions for sustainability. This is a bad deal. To the extent to which crop tolerance allows, we want to continue to direct this leaching fraction outside the production period. It enables us to manage our nitrogen better. We can forego many diseases like sclerotinia or winia, those other things, by irrigating more efficiently in season. As temperatures warm, the challenges during stand establishment and the early window will increase. And we're working on management tools to try to get more climate modification out of our sprinklers. The same thing with the early harvest. We're having an increasing frequency where that lettuce isn't going to market. It doesn't meet quality standards. And we're going to have to try to get more out of our sprinklers and cool that crop. But regardless of what strategy we take, we're always going to have to maintain due diligence with respect to salt management because we're right on the threshold now with our high irrigation efficiencies. That's all I have to say today. If I have any time, I'll answer questions.